Would you join me in a word of prayer as we prepare to hear the message? Heavenly Father, make my words your own. Make me a vessel of your truth and help all of us to hear the message that we need to hear right now. Amen. So as I was going over the scripture, two things popped out to me. The word rewards, he uses it four times in that scripture. Reward, reward, reward. That popped out to me, and acts of hospitality. Getting rewards for being hospitable. And so he never really defined what reward we're getting in that. He says you'll get it, but he never defined it. And so I began to reflect on my own life and some of the rewards I've gotten in my own life. Let's see. This one is from FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America. That was an organization I was involved with in high school. We would take tests or give presentations, and we would be scored against everyone else in the state. This one is first place from 2018 for the Global Business Test. That was a test I took with one other individual, and we ended up getting first place. And we deserved it. We studied hard, and we worked hard together. This one is from 2017, the year before. This is a bronze medal for accounting. And being an accounting major in college now, it's kind of embarrassing for me now. But still, I did my work back in high school, and I didn't come out on top, but I still did all right. Here's another gold one. That this is from 2017 too. This was for a business plan. Me and two other people, we created a whole fake business. It was about kind of a Dollar Shave Club, but for ties and bow ties. And we created an entire business plan for the life of that business. I was in charge of the financials. I could go on and on about the fake costs I made for warehouses and whatnot, but you would be asleep, and that's not the point. But yeah, no, we put in upwards of 15 hours into that, and ended up paying off because we beat everyone else in the state, and we even took it to nationals that year. This one was a silver from that year. This was for the economics test. Again, I took an economics class the year before. I went and I studied a whole bunch of what they had for their resources. I ended up doing pretty good and taking away some hardware. Moving on from the business, this one is a Oral Interp Award. Oral Interp is kind of like a speech competition. How I got this one was this was my first year of Oral Interp and only year. And so how it worked was I gave a humorous speech about Kellogg's company to a panel of judges, and they scored me on that, and I ended up getting first place over in Sturgis, right not too far nearby. And so I didn't end up taking that one to the state competition because I was only a novice at that time, but still, I worked really hard and I really felt like I deserved this. And then we get to this one. This is my one and only award from track. It is from 2016 from the Miller JV Invitational 800 Relay. Eighth place, which sounds really cool that we beat a whole bunch of other people to get eighth place, except there were only eight teams in the race that we had. So this is a participation medal that we got. So I didn't enjoy track. I didn't really try hard in track. I ended up quitting track, but we still showed up and we got this participation trophy, which is kind of ridiculous, honestly. I mean, they should have given me an award for hopping on the bus and driving down there, for showing up to practice every time. Shoot, they should give me a medal or something when I give Scott a pat on the back after he does something cool, or for driving to see a friend. I should really get a reward for giving someone a cold cup of water. That sounds silly, right? And yet Scripture tells us that we should get a reward for giving someone a cold cup of water. But what sort of reward would hospitality earn? And so I turned to scripture to see some biblical rewards and see if that could help me uncover this, what this reward might be. And so I'm going to give you two stories, from both from the Old Testament, about rewards. One you've already heard about. It was the 2 Kings scripture. But the first one I'm going to tell you about is about the story of Lot and the angels in Sodom. So those of you who are biblically literate know this story, but I'll go back over it for those of you who don't, and for a refresher on everyone who does. So, Sodom and Gomorrah are two towns in the Old Testament times that God has predestined to be destroyed. He has told his angels to go destroy them. And Abraham was alive at this time. Abraham doesn't like this. So he wrestles and bargains with God, and he finally convinces God to let all the righteous people in those towns be saved. And so God says, all right. He sends his two angels to the towns to find whoever might be righteous in there. And so the angels are in the town square when Lot, Abraham's relative, approaches them. He invites them to his house for supper. Now, these two angels, they don't really accept his invitation at first. They've got a job to do. They want to go through, figure out who all is righteous, and get done with their job. But Lot is insistent. He insistently invites them over to his house. And so eventually they relent and join him for dinner. So something about Sodom and Gomorrah, there's a reason that they're being destroyed. They are full of thieves and murderers and all sorts of other villainous people. They have become hotspots for sin and villainy. And so Lot knows this, and he takes a risk by inviting these two strangers, who are the angels, but he doesn't know that they're angels. He takes a risk by inviting them into his house because he knows that the townspeople are going to be after them, wanting to do bad things to them. So he takes a risk by inviting these men in, and inevitably, as they're eating supper, the people of Sodom, word gets around that the two strangers are staying at Lot's house. And so they come and they bang on his door, and they yell at him to release the two strangers out to them so they can rob them and do horrible things to them. And this is where it gets a little bit gruesome, so I'm going to summarize some of what the people were saying. They were demanding these men. And so Lot, he offers them up item after item, even those that are most precious to him, in order to try and appease the townspeople. But the townspeople won't have it. They want the two men. And so eventually they break down Lot's door. And as that happens, the angels release a flash of light, which blinds the townspeople and confuses them. And scripture says that they give up and go back to their homes. It doesn't say why, but they just leave. And so the angels, now having revealed their presence to Lot, tell him what's about to happen. So they tell him to go gather up all his relatives, all his friends, and get them out of town so they get to safety. So Lot goes and tries to do this, and no one really wants to listen to him, so he ends up only being able to take himself, his wife, and his children. And so they get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they are safe when the angels rain fire and brimstone upon the cities. So that's one reward. Lot was safe. He was saved. But something tells me that's not the reward that Jesus was talking about to his disciples in the Matthew scripture. So then let's shift to 2 Kings 4:8. So this is a scripture that's not commonly known. It's about Elisha and the Shunammite woman. And I'm going to give a brief synopsis, brief summary, just to refresh your mind of what you read earlier. So Elisha is in town, and the Shunammite woman offers him supper. And so he goes and he dines with her. He leaves town. The next time he comes to town, the Shunammite woman has a room for him. And he stays with her, and then he goes away. And the next time, she's got a study room set up for him. She has increased her hospitality for him every single time he comes back. Eventually, it pays off because he asks for what reward he can give her. She doesn't really have an answer. And so he ends up giving her a son, which she shouldn't be able to conceive because of her old age, which is a biblically huge gift. You think about the Virgin Mary and Sarah, Abraham's wife. And so that's a biblically huge gift. So is that the reward? Is it that we're gonna have a son if we are hospitable to people? I don't know about you. I don't need a son right now. So I'm not thinking that's the reward. But notice what happened with the Shunammite woman. First, she fed him supper, and then she added something on and added something else the next time he came. So this is kind of the point that I'm kind of wanting to make here, is this idea of incremental hospitality. What if the reward wasn't that she got a son, but the fact that Elisha kept coming back? He kept coming back to see her. As a church, we're always trying to reach out into the community and invite more people in. What if that was the way that we did that, by adding more and more things on to make people feel welcome, to make them want to be here, to make this a home for them? But still, having people come back, that still isn't a good reward. So often, when we listen to Jesus and we try and determine what he wants for our lives, we can get overwhelmed by all of the expectations that we're expected to follow, all of the things that we're not supposed to do, all of the things that we're supposed to try to do. It can become fatiguing. Many pastors suffer from burnout, and many ministers do as well. You might feel, when you're feeling the Spirit's nudge, you might feel scared. Having someone stay at your house might immobilize you. That's not something that you want to do right now. I think what Jesus was trying to do in the Matthew scripture was to give us and his disciples a way of working up to those things. Rather than having to have it all right away, we can work up to those things. This passage from Matthew comes right after he's telling him that he's sending them out with only the clothes on their back, without any food, without any way of sustaining themselves than the hospitality of other people. So I think Jesus had a twofold kind of idea here with what he was saying to them. He was easing their fears, knowing that they wouldn't have to rely on any one person to feed and clothe them. And he was also setting people who were listening up to help the disciples. Because if they know that all they have to do is give a cup of water to one, then that's pretty easy. And then someone else might be able to provide them a meal, and so on and so on. So this incremental hospitality. But still, we don't know what the reward is. We know that hospitality is important, and we can be incremental with it, and we can get better by it. But what's the reward? I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18, and the version I'm reading is coming from the Common English Bible. And so in that, Paul says to the Corinthians, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from the same image, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is in the Spirit." From one degree of glory to another, we're being transformed into the same image of the Lord. That sounds a lot like the incremental hospitality. So what if this reward isn't anything physical? What if it isn't a baby? What if it isn't salvation? What if it's a deeper understanding, a deeper transformation of ourselves into what God is? A glimpse into the mind of God every time we give someone a glass of water, every time we offer them a smile or a pat on the back. What if that's the reward that we're getting? That's pretty fantastic to get to know the mind of God. As a church, we're incrementally implementing more and more each week into our services, to our outdoor services, to try and make people feel more comfortable. As we move inside, we'll be increasing more and more things to try and make people feel welcome and improve the service for you. So now, here's my challenge to you. What can you do to be incrementally more hospitable? What can you do to be more loving, more kind? What is it that God is calling you to improve upon? What are you doing now? And what's your next step for becoming a better Christian? For some, it may be huge. It may be going from step A all the way up to step 15, because that's the increment that you're ready for. For others, it might be going from nothing to simply offering a glass of water to next time offering a cold glass of water, or picking up a few sticks for your neighbor to doing their whole yard for them. Either way, I want you to think about that this week. Don't decide right now if you have decided what you're going to do. That's great. But think about that this week and be open to the Spirit's nudgings. What's making you scared? What's freezing you this week that might be God asking you to take the next step? So before I close, I want to end on a final note of wisdom. Many of us are independent people, and we don't like to be reliant on others. We don't like to have others do things for us. We don't like to feel like we can't do things for ourselves. And oftentimes we can feel guilty if we end up asking for help. What if instead of feeling guilty when we need help with something, what if we saw that as an opportunity for the person helping us to grow, to know the mind of God a little bit more? Then we can look at that in a different way and be a little bit more thankful. So I'll leave you with that as I close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for all of the opportunities that we get to continually be formed and shaped by you. Help us this week as we go out and we see opportunities to work your good into the world. And help us to seize those. Help us to take that next step boldly in your name. Amen.